On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about Christopher Robin. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim.
Music, we are back for our 63rd episode. Yes, 63rd episode of the We've Seen That podcast. And boys, I love this week. You know, I just really do love the, you know, you're just gonna kind of fuck around on Monday and Tuesday at work, and then you'll probably just be like, fuck it, I'm taking Wednesday off like I did. Like, this is just such a, it's beautiful.
Now you're making me jealous.
Yeah, you fucker.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, I cleaned the house the entire day because we have the family coming, but...
Oh, you guys are hosting for Turkey Day.
We are. I am making a turkey tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Oh,
I'm getting up at 6 a.m. Not jealous anymore.
That's a lot of responsibility, Scott.
Disclaimer, it's just a turkey breast. Nobody needs to know that, though. Mm. So it's actually really
easy. Are you
going to
crack under the pressure?
It's a turkey breast. I can't screw it up. Literally, all you do is put it in the oven for 90 minutes. There's no way to screw this up at all. So, no, I'm not nervous. But anyway, when you say you're not nervous, you sound nervous. But I guess I'm a little nervous, but not too bad. So
what percentage nervous are you?
15%. Mm. Ask me tomorrow morning. We'll see. I'm more nervous because trivia is coming this episode. And God, I'm just going to spoil that right now. Like, trivia will be here in a bit. Also in this episode, you're going to get an interview with my brother. We have planned out that tomorrow after Turkey Day, after the nap and after football, while we are drinking, that is when this interview will occur. So it's going to be beautiful. So look forward to that. And right about now, because that's when I'm going to put it. This is a moment that I think the podcast has probably waited for the past 50 episodes or so. When we started bringing up my brother Rob, so my first question to lead it. Well, first off, Rob, introduce yourself for the people.
I'm Rob.
A little more than that.
I've had 4 beers today, and I have 3 more here. Got some gum. We're ready to do this.
So let's start with that. Why gum and beer, and why? Because that could explain your lifestyle a little bit of just being a little. Off the edge.
Peanut butter and jelly, french fries and ketchup, apple pie and baseball. Maybe more American things than Bush Light and extra gum.
Yeah, so we're sitting here. We got 2 15 stick packs of gum and 3 Bush Lights. There's no other way to start this interview than that. But my first question related to this interview, who is your favorite actor and why is it Mark Wahlberg?
It's definitely Mark Wahlberg. And... I mean, just the diversity of his career is unbelievable.
So define diversity.
Fucker does, like, porn. He's a porn star. He loses all his weight.
Is that actually true? He's a porn star?
No, but I mean, he plays, like, in Boogie Nights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right,
so he plays a porn star. He plays a fucking war hero. He plays a guy who is literally a degenerate gambler. I mean, if I could live the life that Mark Wahlberg had in his movies... I would consider myself... I mean, it's not on point with what he's done, but, like, I kind of aspire to be him. And then just and then you can think of Pain and Gain. He just pumps for no reason, and he has to get a pump. He murders somebody and has to start pumping.
And let's just get that out of the way. When you work out, what muscle groups are you focused on?
Oh, it's definitely just biceps.
Just biceps.
No.
So what's the routine of choice when it comes to bicep workouts so the rest of the people can hear this?
So we do, it's what we call, I like to call it 500 of everything. So 500 of everything revolves around, It's 500 curls each arm. Sometimes if I have 20-pound dumbbells and I got a 50-pound weight set, like with bar, so probably 65. So you curl that at least, four. I mean, it's usually 8 to 10 sets. So you're looking anywhere from 40 to 50 reps a set to get to your 500. And then we do overhead arm or chest presses, whatever you want to call it. 500 of those with the 20-pound dumbbells. And then we do 500, what do you call them? Just like fucking...
Yeah. So picture you're drinking a water bottle. That is what he does with said 20-pound weights. Do you realize that that's not normal?
Well, then I'm finishing
a beer. He's finishing a beer.
wait a second.
Live on pod, we have a beer finish. That's one. And that brings the total to how many? To five for the day. And
so,
just for the timestamp, it is noon currently. Noon 15.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
Yeah.
And what was the question?
Do you realize that the workout routine is not normal?
Oh, yeah, 100% not normal. But, yeah, you know, I'm never going to listen to any experts because, you know, it's worked for me. It might not work for you, and I'm not asking it to work for you, you know? Like, I think that's what I do, and that's what I will never... I mean, sometimes I up the reps. Sometimes I take it to 650s.
Okay, well, I have to ask at least one movie question here. So, this week on the podcast, we'll do two movie questions here. One... What is your favorite movie ever, if you could think of one right now?
And this is going to surprise some people based on the love for Mark Wahlberg, but it's not a Mark Wahlberg movie.
What is it?
And it's not Never Back Down, contrary to popular belief.
Never Back Down UFC fighting movie.
Yeah, Never Back Down. I mean, everybody knows what that movie is. If they've been on a movie podcast and they don't know what that movie is, man, they're on the wrong podcast. it's actually Bleed for This.
And who is in that movie?
Miles Teller. Second favorite actor.
And this is the boxing movie, right?
Yep. I can't remember. It's based on a true story. I can't remember the guy's name. But it's based on a guy who gets in a nasty car accident after he wins all this money from pride fighting and boxing. You know, like they win all this money. And he blows it on this Lambo. And then he gets in an accident. And he has his spine severed in so many places where they figure he'll never walk again. And now in the movie, they make it seem like Miles Teller waits about a month to start lifting weights again. This guy got home from the hospital. The real life story, the real life guy, got home from the hospital and within 7 days was bench pressing half his body weight, which he wasn't even allowed to lift, you know, a pound. You know, he wasn't supposed to lift any weight at all. Zero weight. And this guy was with a fucking full headset on him, you know, like, because back in the 80s... So they had different measures of... He had a full headgear, so he kept his spine, like, intact. But, yeah, the guy's an inspiration. He's a fucking animal.
So I am slightly surprised it wasn't a Mark Wahlberg movie. Then maybe I need to tailor my question a little bit better. Favorite Mark Wahlberg movie?
I mean, it's definitely Lone Survivor. I don't even think it's even close.
No. I thought you were going to say Pain and Gain. And
Pain and Gain's a great film, but it's not... I mean, Wahlberg is... Picking a favorite Mark Wahlberg movie is like telling somebody who loves like milk chocolate to pick between like their favorite chocolate candy. I mean, like asking kids on Halloween what their favorite candy is when they get a bag full of fucking 500 different kinds of candy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Okay, well, other question I want. You have lived your life in a pretty unique way, I would say. Why... how do I tailor this question without sounding bad here? Why did you not give a fuck? I think that's the best way to phrase it. When growing up, why did you not give a fuck?
I don't think there was anybody there to tell me how to give a fuck. Teach me how to give a fuck. And so when I didn't give a fuck and I saw the reaction that not giving a fuck gets you, I'm like, this is like a high. It's like almost like a drug. As a kid, yeah, it's a drug. So, you don't have anybody to tell you that not giving a fuck is probably not a good idea.
Right.
So, and if you have a mom, single parent, true, telling you not to do it. Oh, true.
It's like putting gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you had grown up in the social media age now, do you think you'd be in the jail or under it?
I would have a jail named after me.
give me one story we can tell on the air that proved you were a savage individual. What's one that we can talk about?
Man, I thought about one, and I gotta. You might have to skip over that one for now because one savage story.
I mean, do we want to do when you yelled "fuck you" at the neighbors? Do we want to do...
I was thinking of another fuck you, but that would have not been pod appropriate.
I think anything's pod appropriate.
That was not.
I think this is a free speech. This isn't going to be published anywhere. It's no big deal.
Well, we're going to leave that one for...
Okay. Okay.
The laundromat.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that. That just a savage moment?
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about what your favorite movies you liked, say, when you were 14? Do we want to talk about that?
I mean, it was Varsity Blues and it was nothing else.
Hmm. I was going to talk about taping over VHSs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you watch our communion videos, you might see something you've never seen before.
Yeah, my first communion video, God forbid our grandma or grandpa ever came over and were like, let's watch Scott's first communion video. It would not be that.
Thankfully, there's not a lot of play for old karate films. You know, us doing karate.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, nobody wants to watch us go from purple, or, well, it was going from, I think, purple to blue, and, or something, you know, and sparring. So, if anybody wants to watch sparring, you're going to see a little more in sparring.
Yeah.
It's not going to be with fists.
Giant dicks.
Yeah, giant
dicks. That's all you're going to see. Lots of them. That's all you're going to see. I mean, so, any story.
Just savagery?
Yeah.
Man, I mean... I used to be real bad when it came to sneaking out of the house with women.
It's true.
This one's great.
Okay.
So, I mean, I snuck somebody in one time.
Do I know this story?
You might. Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so I snuck somebody in one time. A little thing. Did it all. And
did it all.
Yeah, well, you use your imagination, but everything in the sexual hemisphere of the United States, North America, was done that night.
Consensually.
Yeah. And then I'm like, all right, time to go. And so I made her walk out of the house, and she parked, like, up the hill a ways, and she got her car stuck in the ditch trying to back out of where she was, and never called me, never told me anything. And then the neighbor guy saw it the next morning, and he's just like, yeah, there's some car stuck in the ditch over there by Pedretti's. And, oh, we're not supposed to use names.
No, that's all right.
Okay. And and then, so all the farmers knew because they woke up at the break butt crack of dawn. And then I'm like, and Tyler, our neighbor guy who is friends with us, he texts me. He's like, yeah, whose car is that? I'm like, what do you think it is? Her name will be unnamed on this show, but yeah.
So what happened?
She got her car stuck. It was hilarious. And I'd like never even, she just left it there. Okay. Like got it towed the next day and not once told me, you know, like. I mean, I snuck out of the house. I don't, like, the savage stories, I mean, you could just, give me an example.
There are a lot that aren't appropriate, I would say.
Yeah, give me an example.
Well, I just think that things that you did would borderline on things where people with, you know, would think twice. You never thought twice.
No, not once.
There's the time that you were supposed to go to Mexico in the morning, you took our van out until 3 a.m., crashed it into...
You want to hear that story?
Yeah, let's do that.
So that one was awesome. So that one was on our way back to... We're headed, you know, south, which is towards Genoa. North.
Let's give perspective here. La Crosse, Wisconsin, west side of the state. Genoa, south of La Crosse.
Yeah, south of La Crosse. It's about 13 miles south. You hit one town. We're heading home. Downtown was the area to go. You know,
Lacrosse.
We drive around.
Downtown Lacrosse.
Yeah, drive around Lacrosse because, you know, what better to do? And we shout obscenities at people, light off fireworks from vans. You know, we do all sorts of shit. But this night, I was driving Scott's van, the Bat van.
Yeah.
I
don't know if the pod listeners know about that I had a van just
dedicated
stuck
to
with Batman stickers, Batman seats. I was a cool
Batman kid. Decals.
Very cool kid at the age of 17.
Steering wheel, grips, everything. Yeah. Everything Batman. It was the Bat Van. It was not a Bat.
Amazing. I lost my virginity. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
I fucked in that van one time. Anyways.
There's been a lot that happened in that van.
So this.
A lot.
So we are driving back. I'm with Collier in the front seat. And if you know Collier, it's not a good mix.
People don't, but.
The savagery was real with us two. Sure. I mean, it was not going any, like, we were not getting anything done productively. So, we both went and see these girls. We're seeing two friends, and we're driving home, and I'm texting and driving, you know, which I don't recommend.
Were you drunk?
No, I was completely sober.
Okay.
But we were, because we had to go to Mexico.
That's right.
So I'm driving back, I'm like, well, we got to be in, you know, south of where I was in probably about 45 minutes to an hour. And it takes about 30 minutes to get there. And we're driving home, and I was texting the girl that I was seeing, and I said, you know, I had a good night, whatever, whatever. And then I said, yeah, texting and driving is bad. And I was typing the A's, many A's, many A's. And then I hit the median in the middle of the road, completely fucked up the front end of that van. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this thing ain't drivable. Like, the whole front end was done.
Oh, my God.
$2,000 body work, tires, undercarriage, just insane.
I never knew the texting part.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was I was texting her, and I was finished, and I had to type in just too many A's, apparently, because then I hit the median and blew the fucking front end of that thing wide open. And so then I mean, we pull off to the left of where we were, and it was, like, right by a bowling alley or a banquet hall. And I tell the cops, I said, because then my mom's like, I call my mom. I'm like, oh, man, mom, I was in an accident. And then she's like, call the police. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to make up some story real quick because I was not in an accident. It was my fucking fault. So thinking as quick and slyly as I do, I just say, well, somebody flashed their brights at me. Cops bought it, loved it. Said we got cameras on the lights, and I'm like, check them. Somebody flashed their brights, couldn't see shit, hit the median, you know, nothing ever came of it. And so went to Mexico. So went to Mexico that night.
Went to Mexico like 2 hours later.
Yeah, and left that van parked at the fucking bowling alley. Krishna actually came to help to the scene.
Shout out Krishna.
Shout out to Krishna.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think this is what I needed from this interview. That story was good enough right there. But if you had to leave the podcast listeners of 70 to 80,000 people here with one word of advice for life, what would it be?
One word?
One way to live life.
Fuck it, everything washes out eventually.
I think that's pretty accurate for you. The fact that you are where you are now from where you came from is proof that you can fuck around when you're younger.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I encourage fucking around when you're younger, because you can't do it when you're older. You get in a lot more trouble.
Yeah, and you're held much more accountable.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, that will wrap up our interview with Rob, and now back to your regular scheduled programming in the pod.
So you're going to have him all, well, I suppose if this is going to be after where it's at, he's all looped up?
Yeah.
You're going to wait until he's had a few drinks?
Yeah, Rob was a great interview. So, yeah. Yeah.
But that anyway,
so it's all downhill from here for the pod.
Yeah. Let's start with this, guys, because like I want to start something different here. Favorite Thanksgiving dish, Jim, go.
My scotch.
Wow.
Attaboy.
Okay, not alcohol.
Stuffing.
Okay. Oh, classic.
Stuff. Anthony?
Well, I don't want to like, it's so easy to say like a protein, like ham or turkey. So I'm going to go with the yellow rice that Grandma makes.
See, now this is a Kelsey family original we're talking here.
She was basically, grandma. It's just cheesy rice, but it's awesome.
Very good.
What's not
very
like.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
mine's standard. It's just mashed potatoes and gravy. Can't go wrong there. I think turkey is incredibly overrated. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, I don't think it's that good. And I eat maybe two pieces, so I have to make one.
I really get out of bed for mac and cheese, too, in terms of, like, non-liquid Thanksgiving foods.
It appears our generation is making this a Thanksgiving dish. I'm pro that. I love mac and cheese. But the old heads hate that. They hate when you say that mac and cheese is a Thanksgiving dish. So yeah. You just ruffled some feathers, Jim, with
okay, boomer.
Yeah, with our above 65 crowd here, we just lost some listeners. How about that?
So, I like what
are
like
you going to do?
Yeah, all right. Anyway, let's get to what we're watching. I'm going to start because, guys, I didn't watch anything.
Slouch.
I did not. Well, okay.
Taking all this time off on a Wednesday and you didn't watch a fucking movie?
I just told you. I cleaned the whole house. You, Jim, you would know. Like, look at your house. If you had to clean that whole thing in one day, it'd probably take the whole day, right?
Yeah, we're doing it this weekend because AJ's coming to stay with us next week.
Dude, thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it. I'm hurt.
You've been in the house.
Been to the house, yeah, but I love AJ, and every time I don't invite him to something, I hear this. So, hey, AJ, fuck you, guy. If you're listening, you're probably not, but anyway. Well, that's cool. Tell AJ I say hi when you see him. But
I will.
What was it? Yeah, I didn't watch anything. Cassie is watching this show called Tagged on Netflix. This is the worst fucking piece of shit show I've ever seen.
Is it reality TV?
If I had to guess, based on the title, is it about, like, spray painting?
No.
No.
Tagged as in you've been tagged online.
Oh.
Yeah, always right.
So not like always Tony right. Hawk's Underground 2, like when you tag stuff.
No,
yeah.
No. Let me give this show a slight smart thing that they're doing, though. They didn't spend any money on developing a plot. They spent the money on getting attractive actors and actresses, and sometimes I think that's all you need to do these days. So they figured that out.
Show, yeah, have a good-looking cast.
Pre-hype porn preview, I stand with Ridley Scott. So we'll get into that.
Oh.
Ah. I don't know what this is going to be, but anyway, Jim, what have you been watching?
Okay, so first I would like to report we are on a 4-week winning streak in trivia, so that's a total of $85 in winnings.
Would you say you're the hottest team in Wisconsin right now on trivia?
I think we're damn near.
At least in whichever. You live in DePere,
Northeast,
right?
Wisconsin, for sure. Northeast.
No, I live in Southwest Wisconsin.
Oh, you're in Southwest now, though. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but just a little north of Milwaukee, so stalkers come hunt me down.
Bring it. What place did we take this week?
Second place this week. Had some struggles with the final question, which I'm now also struggling to remember.
What it was. Oh,
man.
Oh, you had to pair up men who have cheated on their wives to, like, famous men, Tiger Woods included, to the people they cheated with.
Well, I mean, Tiger, you got a lot of options.
As far as I remember, there was, like, 20.
Just was the option just, like, Applebee's waitresses? Was that what it was?
That was not the option, but we got every single one of them wrong.
Oh, man. Oh, that's all right, though. You're still in the money, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and so we're taking a week off for Thanksgiving because it's normally Thursday nights. We're not taking a week off. Trivia is taking a week off. If they had it, we'd still be there.
I love it.
I don't fuck around. So that's why we're having trivia this episode of the pod.
Fuck yeah. Basketball's on a bye week. Oh! We should have won last week. Update.
Should have won, but you didn't?
But didn't. We had, like, a 6-point lead, like, most of the second half and, like, lost by, like, 6 in the end.
How many points you put up?
Oh, I think I had, like, 16, but...
Oh! Look out.
I don't know.
He's getting hot.
I was pissed. We should have won. Wow.
You're still competing at this age. Unreal.
I think, like I said last week, I think that was the last team that we haven't played. So now we've lost to everybody, and we just kind of, like, run it back now for a couple more weeks. And
so you play everyone else once again?
Yeah.
You've seen them now. Now you've seen them.
Right.
Now you're going to win. You know the
It's always hard to beat the same team twice, Scott, you know?
It's true. It's impossible. It's impossible. Anyway.
Right.
Jim. Other thing I watched was I watched the first episode of this Wheel of Time show we talked about in Hype Horn a couple of weeks ago. It's an Amazon original based upon this fantasy book series. I am intrigued. I don't think you guys maybe would be quite as hyped about it as I am. The acting doesn't quite seem to be all there. They have these weird troll monsters that come at the end of the first episode that were really good looking in terms of, like, whether it was CG or if it was all practical, I don't know, but, like, they looked really good. There's some intrigue about this, like, long lost prophecy about a person who had magic, and now someone is trying to hunt down this person who has this magical ability because they apparently have been reborn.
Hmm. Is that with Rosamund Pike? Is she the lead?
Yes, Rosamund Pike, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. That looked interesting. I've seen a couple. What's it on?
It's on Prime.
It's on Prime?
There's two or three episodes out, I believe. I've only watched the first one.
Hmm. I've seen a couple trailers for it now. It does look interesting. Like something I would be possibly check out at some point.
Yeah, it trips my fantasy trigger. Kind of wish it was maybe a little bit more. It seems as though this first episode, the story is very like surface level, not very deep yet. But they're trying to play a Game of Thrones where they only introduce you very slightly to each character and then move on. So they'll eventually hopefully have this huge cast of amazing characters, but we'll see whether or not that works out.
Right.
And now, because I believe
the book series has a lot of books in it.
And now Game of Thrones, that was a great show until the last season, right?
You just trying to do this on purpose? Do you want to start this every episode?
No, I just was curious, we'll have... that's all.
We'll get to it someday.
He's got a drink in one hand, so I knew this would be the time I might be able to trip him up a little bit, but no.
Based on a super quick Google, there appears to be at least 15 books in this series, so they're not hurting for content like they were with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no shit.
Wow. Jim, is that all you were watching?
That is all I have watched.
Anthony.
I did have something I watched. So I started, and it's been like a couple... I've dragged this over about like 15 episodes now, but I've watched the third Spider-Man in the Sam Raimi, probably the worst one in the trilogy, with goth Tobey Maguire and
hell yeah,
the shitty version of Venom as Topher Grace. Yeah, that movie's probably definitely just like a 5 out of 10. Spider-Man, I don't know if I've said, is probably like honestly my favorite superhero content. I don't know, I've always liked Spider-Man, so it still trips my trigger in that sense, but by far, probably the worst of that trilogy, and it's probably not quite as bad as the second Andrew Garfield one, in my opinion, but it's definitely one of the worst out of the three main stories we've had so far. Yeah.
And you didn't like Topher Grace as Eddie Brock?
I don't know, not...
Are you serious, Jim?
I'll stand on this hill, I kind of liked it, you know... He's kind of a big old wimp, right? And then he gets the Venom suit, and that's what makes him feel powerful and kind of brings all these terrible things about the Eddie Brock character to the forefront.
I suppose of that movie, he's one of the better parts, and I just guess I forget how Peter's kind of the one who's dragging that movie down. I mean, he says to Brock at one point, "I'll rub some dirt in your eye," and that's one of the best lines. Like
major
of the film.
Insult, man.
Yeah,
watch out.
It's one of the best lines in cinema.
Yeah, I also am a big Topher fan, so I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my problem wasn't really with Topher Grace. It was kind of just how they did Venom. It was, like, too short.
And Venom was bad, but I think Topher Grace was relatively astute casting.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't so bad with that. I guess the other thing then...
Oops. Cut off.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Cut off at a hype horn.
It's not on the outline, so I'm flying blind.
That's all right. We'll leak this into hype. The Badger basketball team won the Maui Invitational.
I got a lot of hype about that. That's not about movies. One, Anthony and I have secured tickets to see Greta Van Fleet in concert. That's major fucking hype.
So pumped.
Hey-o.
Two, we don't have to work for the next 2 days. That's worth a hype. And then the third one would be I got free Bucks tickets this past weekend and got a piece of the championship court. So that's hype, too.
You and Bob, what did you get?
Nothing. It was a giveaway, so they just gave
Oh, it's just like a little literal piece of court.
Looks like a Scrabble tile.
Well, because sometimes they made a couple of them like into really cool like bottle openers and stuff. I didn't know if you got anything like that.
I looked on the site. Those are like $95, and... I can't justify the purchase the same way I can't get through Cassie's head. I want to buy Packer stock. She said, "What's the value?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "Can you sell it?" I said, "No." "Can you transfer it?" "No." So really, there's nothing there.
I thought you could will it. Like
you can will
it.
You can will it, yes. But like, as in, if if you said, Scott, I'll give you $300 for it, I can't just transfer it into your name. It's still going to be in my name. So it is literally worthless stock.
But it's so
but
cool.
I want it.
Yeah,
I'm probably still going to buy it. Honestly.
My ma has some.
There you go.
And, you know, I mean, it's neat. Like, it's a publicly owned sports team, major air quotes. But, I mean, none of the other teams are like that.
That's
you know,
correct.
So it is unique in and of itself.
We need a billionaire, I think. But anyway, yeah, let's get on the movie hype here, Jim.
Okay, so first, Henry Cavill says that he'll play Witcher for 7 seasons if the fans want him to, and that's how long it takes to tell the story.
Well, based off the first season, I'm pretty sure everybody loves him, so I think he can't do wrong right now. We'll see when this new season comes out, but...
Yeah, if there's going to be a problem, I don't think it's going to be him being the problem.
Yeah, no. I love the first season, so I can't wait for this next one to come out, for sure.
Yeah, it's coming out next month, I believe, like late December.
Yep, I think so.
Next thing, Miramax is suing Quentin Tarantino over the Pulp Fiction NFTs he's releasing. Because they claim they own all rights to the movie, including unreleased footage.
This is stupid.
This NFT shit is going too far.
Oh my god.
I don't even know what it is, really. But
when someone tried to explain that to me, and then someone tried to explain to me Bitcoin, I literally wanted to jump off a bridge. Because it was
like Bitcoin art.
Yeah, somehow. It's just... Oh my god.
Scam, man.
I tried to take a tax class on Bitcoin, Jim, and I'm pretty good at learning. It was so over my head, I literally was like, what the fuck?
I took a really good one that was via LinkedIn Learning.
Send it my way, because I need to know about this shit. And you know what? We should get in on this. Also, let's pause in the middle of the show for a quick Marcus update. Right now, on the website, if you buy a gift card for more than $50, you get 25% off. So say you spend $100. It would cost you 75. I mean, shit. Can't beat that with a stick.
No.
So,
yeah, spoilers. There's going to be one in Angie's stocking, but she doesn't listen to the pod because she doesn't support me.
That's fucking smart, Jim. I'm going to get Cassie one, too.
There
great
you
idea.
Go. I like it.
Yeah,
I might buy Taylor two of them. Let's
for
go.
Date night, you know? Feminism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boom.
Oh, there for it.
Next thing, Michael Keaton has confirmed that he is returning as Vulture and says that he is currently filming things as the Vulture character.
I love Michael Keaton.
He's in the trailer, right, for Morbius at some point, isn't
as
he?
As Vulture, I believe so.
Or, well, at least as whatever his character
like
is.
Like his character,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that's... I expect to see him in there, I suppose. I don't know. Yeah, I love Michael
the
Keaton.
The slant of the article I read seem to make it think that he's going to be back in No Way Home. I don't know if I believe that or not, but...
Right.
And especially since they wouldn't be filming anymore for that, obviously.
That fucking movie has so much hype, dude. I think it's past any of the Avenger movies, to be honest.
What I would agree.
Think?
Do we think
in
it's
going
to crash and burn?
No. It's just... I'm nervous, but it looks so good.
They'll figure it out.
Like, it'll suck. I still have, like, an inkling, like, right here in the back of my head that the other two guys aren't going to be in it, and I'll be severely disappointed, but it'll still be really cool regardless.
Just a little pebble of doubt.
Right. But seeing, like, Willem Dafoe and those guys coming back will still be, like, worth the price of admission, I think. I don't know.
Next piece of hype, there's a Halo live-action series coming to Paramount Plus in 2022.
I don't care.
Wow, this was kind of a big deal because it came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that makes me nervous. I feel like it.
I mean, they've been trying to get a decent Halo live-action project for years. Everyone has tried.
And it's...
What's so hard about it?
Well, because video game adaptations rarely go good.
Succeed.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
So I don't know if... You know, it depends. We'll see what they do, but it's kind of something that maybe with like these streaming services, if they fork over enough money, you can just kind of pay to make something good. I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for with the Lord of the Rings show on Amazon, but
keep forgetting about that.
That might just be wishful thinking.
It's because it's like fucking years away.
Yeah.
No, it's only like 9 months now.
Is it really?
I think so.
It's still so long.
Gosh. I'm holding my breath.
We'll get there.
Randall Park is set to star in a comedy series from Netflix about the last Blockbuster store.
I like that. That's interesting.
I want to point out the irony that Netflix are the people that killed Blockbuster.
That is true.
And now they're like funding a show about the last one.
It's like you got away with murder and then you just brag about it.
Yeah.
Which, oh, I did watch something this week. Tiger King 2. I did watch.
Is season 2 out?
Yes, yes. We watched
the
whole thing.
So the Carol Baskins lawsuit was unsuccessful.
Yeah, and I only have one part of it that I even want to point out. O.J. Simpson posted a Twitter video saying that Carol definitely killed her husband, and I just found that incredibly ironic.
Yeah, like he's one to talk.
It's just insane. I don't, whatever his brain is, I want that because he can, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just unreal that he can talk like that. It's crazy.
I know.
Every single tweet that he does when it's like, hey, Twitter world, Juice here, I'm like, this is not a real world that we live in. This is fucking crazy. Yeah. Hey, Twitter world. Here's who
and the fact that the Bills, the fact that the Bills still hold his number and name on the Ring of Honor is something else entirely.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do it.
Last piece of hype, and it's more so news than it is hype. Ridley Scott says that the reason The Last Duel, his most recent movie, only earned $27 million against its $100 million budget was because of people brought up on these fucking cell phones, the millennium, do not want to ever be taught anything unless you told it on the cell phone.
I don't know. Who knows? I brought this up to a guy at work today. I was like, do you think that, like if Gladiator came out today, would it bomb?
I don't think also so. I think if it was a decent movie and it, I mean, let's bring up the most obvious reason this maybe didn't do well. Fucking coronavirus, you know?
Right, I know. So it's
unwilling
tough.
To think of any other option than fuck the millennials.
Yeah. I just...
Or the millennials, excuse me.
Yeah, whatever, however you said it. It's tough. We kind of just lost Scott now, so I guess we could pause.
Right.
Dumbass.
Ugh. Ridley Scott or Scott?
Well, Scott's. Anybody named Scott.
He says, keep going. He'll be back.
All right. Well, I don't know. It's tough because, like, you have corona. Like, I don't know. Like I said, if you brought, like, Gladiator right now in this climate, would it make, you know, all the money it did, like, when it came out? I mean, obviously, probably not. But at the same time, it would still be commercially successful, I guess. I don't know. It's
right. It feels so much like this is not to resurrect a dead meme for the second time in the single episode, but it feels like a super huge okay boomer.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fucking cell phones. That's why they don't want to go see a movie, because they're too interested in their cell phones. It's the stupidest fucking thing you've ever heard.
Right. I mean, there was a lot of...
It stopped working.
A lot of stuff behind this movie. Like, I don't think the marketing was too great. Like, it kind of
didn't even know it had come out.
Yeah, it kind of just appeared. And I guess it's hard to even talk about it because I haven't even seen it yet. I would like to, and it's crazy to think that Ridley Scott at his age is still directing. Like, he came out with two movies this year. This one, and then obviously House of Gucci, which I believe is coming out here shortly.
What are we doing?
Well, that's a
TV
movie, ain't it?
That, I think, is going to be a theatrical release. I believe. But that, you know, that actually looks really interesting. That's like a stacked cast. Not that...
You want the synopsis for Last Duel?
Sure.
King Charles VI declares that Knight Jean de Carrouges settle his dispute with his squire by challenging him to a duel. Sounds fucking thrilling.
I guess. I mean, the only thing is the cast, like I said, is stacked. Because you got Matt Damon, Adam Driver, and fucking whatever.
Jodie Comer also listed. Ben Affleck,
yeah. So it's, I don't know. It maybe it just seems like you should be able to sell tickets just with those names alone, but I don't know. We'll see. I guess. I haven't seen it.
It says here that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon both worked on the screenplay.
Which is interesting, because the last, I don't know how many times they've done it, but they were like, they did that with like Good Will Hunting, which is obviously a great
movie. Yeah, that's how they got their start.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I guess I'll have to see it before I really can rip on either the Millenniums or Ridley Scott, for that matter. I don't
know. On IMDb, it currently has a 7.7 out of 10.
That's pretty good for a user rating.
Right.
That's solid, so... Who knows? That's what I thought. It like got decent reviews, so I'm surprised that it did so poorly. But maybe not a lot of people want to see a 2.5 hour fucking drama about a duel that might last 20 minutes in the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe this was something that should have found a home on a streaming service instead. And the push to go back to theaters is too early for most people still.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a lot of decisions that these directors are going to have to weigh. So it's a tough... Tough time, for sure.
But anyways, that rounds out hype.
Yeah, nice. And so we will begin our review of Christopher Robin here. Jim, why don't we start with the IMDb review, please?
I think the word you were looking for was synopsis, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's all
right.
So Christopher Robin, currently available to stream on Disney Plus, came out in 2018. A working-class family man, Christopher Robin, encounters his childhood friend Winnie the Pooh, who helps him to rediscover the joys of life. Stars Ewan McGregor, Hayley Atwell, who I immediately recognized. She's Peggy Carter.
Yeah,
and Mark Gatiss, who plays Mycroft on Sherlock.
Yeah. I think my part for this is going to be really simple. And that is that Pooh stole the fucking show in this movie, okay? Like,
is why we were watching it.
It's hard to think of, like, a way that they could adapt Pooh into, like, this perfect live-action movie, but fuck, they nailed it. Like, he was awesome. And like, every little phrase brought me back to something from the childhood. I fucking loved that when he said, "Nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day." Like, so many clever little ways, like, he can twist words and how quick banter he was with Ewan McGregor. I fucking loved it. And I had a lot of fun with this movie, even though I think elements of it did get a little like, oh shit, like, we're in the real world now. I had that thought a few times myself. But... Yeah, I just really liked the way those two were on screen together, even though one of them was completely CGI'd in. So, I loved Pooh. Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legit walking one-liner in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You could look up... Like, his entire, line readings are like, inspirational quotes you could find, like, on a fucking daily calendar on your fridge or something. It's hilarious.
Andrew and I were cracking up watching this movie.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And it would be a crime to not acknowledge that Scott kind of brought it up. I mean, obviously, these are, like, a live action. It's always tough when you try to adapt something like this where you bring, like, a cartoon into, like, the real world, and it can be distracting if it's not done well. This movie was nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. So, and I think that it was well-deserved because a lot of the characters, I love the way they adapted them, you know, almost like a rougher-looking version of the of the cartoon. But
yeah,
like,
they looked more,
you know,
like
it's,
the stuffed animals the stories are based on.
Right, yeah. And it just made it, I don't know, there was a realism about it. Like, it was not distracting in any way. Like, you almost felt like this is how you would see them if they were walking around, you know, in modern day London or wherever the hell this story takes place.
I thought as well, like, the people passing them on the street as Pooh is both holding his balloon and talking to people, I thought that that would get old of them being terribly surprised by
funny.
It and it keeps working the whole movie.
I know.
Yeah.
And
there's the part where Ewan McGregor's, like, basically telling him to play dead, and I thought that was so funny. Like, he just stoned up completely and was, like, head tilted. Oh, my God. And one thing it does a really good job of is you always see Pooh eating honey. My favorite scene of the movie was when he first went into Ewan McGregor's house, and he puts honey on the table for him, And Boo is just fucking menace. Like, he spills it all over the table. Then he's got it on his feet. He's walking on the carpet, and he's just stuck. She keeps trying to walk. Like, that was an awesome scene. Like, I was shocked how much I liked this movie. Like, I thought I would like it, but I mean, the movie went by so fast. At one point, I had to pause the movie, and there was, like, 20 minutes left, and I said to Cassie, like, holy shit, I feel like we've been watching for 10 minutes, because the whole time I was entertained. And you know, it was actually a really good, almost, like, anti-coming-of-age tale for Ewan McGregor to, like, remember important things in life, too. So it had an awesome message behind it as well, and mixed in the interactions with the humans. Well, Eeyore was fucking awesome. I mean,
we should,
like,
talk about that message a little bit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, we start with Ewan McGregor working like a madman, right? After coming home from World War II, he goes to work for Winslow Luggage and is being told to cut costs by 20% over the course of a weekend when he's supposed to go away with his family to the cottage where he used to play with Winnie the Pooh. And it feels like a personal attack against us accountants, you know, because Ewan McGregor is like, if I work hard now, we will all benefit later. You know, if I put in the extra time and effort, you know, I will reap the benefits. And it hits very close to home in terms of people who are young working people.
I had an existential crisis in this movie. I'm not kidding. And you could ask Cassie about this. But, you know, the way my job is set up, the harder I work, the more I get paid. Like,
That's the way it works,
and that it is the way it should be. But when that is what is driving you, it is really hard to enjoy the little things in life. So I'm still working on, like, finding that balance. And when you're getting hit hard in this movie of, like, hey, like, you're gonna leave everything behind. Basically, you're like, oh shit, you know, gotta find that balance. So. I think it did a really good job of explaining that lesson.
And, I think it did until it got to the end resolution.
The end resolution was stupid. I will agree with that, where he just flips the pyramid and essentially is saying we're going to attack the working class. I was like, oh, got it.
Yeah, so the end resolution, instead of cutting costs by 20% to keep Winslow Luggage afloat, Ewan McGregor ends up proposing that instead of making really high-end, fancy luggage, we should make cheap, affordable luggage so everyone can afford to buy it, which I don't think is a bad idea, right? But then that is coupled with what you need to do is you need to offer paid time off to all of your workers so that they can go on vacation using their Winslow luggage. And yeah, while I don't think that is a bad thing, like, people deserve to have paid time off of work, but it's completely illogical. You need to let your employees go so that they buy your product and make this business successful. It's completely ass backwards.
I don't think they needed to have him find a solution. I think the movie could have ended with him quitting his job and finding another one that doesn't require him to meet this demand. And I thought for sure that's where this was going. So when he flipped the pyramid like that, I was like, okay, like, he works for an asshole and he's just gonna keep doing it. It's almost like slapping you in the face with capitalism. It's pretty
exactly hilarious. He's so, like, you know, I've realized things other than work matter, but first let me go save my job.
Exactly. it's not at all practicing what you're preaching. And that's where I was kind of like, oh, there could be a sequel here where Ewan just, like, is super scruffy and has had six divorces again. And yeah, it, like, It kind of sucks that's the way it ended. I thought the same thing, Jim, for sure.
But. Yeah. I would agree. Like, for the first, like, 75-80% of the movie, this sort of story is not new. Like, dad works too hard, ignores his kids, wife is mad at him, finds happiness in the end, you know, like, that's been done 1,000 times. But, like we talked about, like, what works in this movie is really, like, the communication between the, you know, the characters, I'll call them Pooh and Tigger, Eeyore, Piglet, like, the way they interact with not only Ewan McGregor, but then his daughter, like, a lot of that stuff is just so, you know, organic. Like, it works so well that, like, a month seems fresh and new, even though Winnie the Pooh's been around for, you know, decades, you know, these characters, but, like, this sort of live action interpretation of it just, it really, it felt fresh. And like the story that we, like I said, has been told 1,000 times still seemed like enjoyable and new at the same time. You know, it was really good.
Yeah, the characters felt fresh even while feeling classic at the same time.
Yeah.
I also want to point out one other thing that annoyed me. So at some point, Hayley Atwell tells her daughter Madeline to go out and play instead of prepping to go off to boarding school. She does. She meets Pooh and crew. And then decides, we need to get back to London because my father forgot his important work papers. And so she gets on a train to London without her own mother. Fine, I'm willing to accept that. Hayley Atwell shows up at the train station watching the train pull away to London. And yet somehow they both arrive in the train station in London at the same time and are still in the train station together.
Yeah.
I
makes
guess.
Total sense.
She took the speed train.
Apparently.
Well, here, Jim, and here I thought you were going to say, like, the train helper was going to ask why she needed 6 T's instead of 1 when she had 5 stuffed animals in there.
No, when kids say shit like that, you just roll with it.
Not if there's no adult. That's like fucked up. That's weird.
Well, a movie with a talking teddy bear, Scott, I'm willing to forgive a lot of things.
Fair enough. But to go off of that point too, we had that moment between Ewan McGregor and his daughter there where he was like, "You're the most important thing." And yet she brought him back this paper that let him keep this horrible job.
Yeah, he immediately undercuts what he was saying to her.
It sucks. Like, it kind of, in a way, I kind of like it because I think it's more realistic, you know? And
he's 100% telling his daughter the only important thing is work.
Right. And he's sticking by it in a way while also saying she's important too. But, like, at the same time, he can't just quit his job. Like, It's tough. It's like a tough, like, challenge of capitalism is what it is. And in the end, capitalism wins, which it always probably will. So, I don't know. I don't know if there's a message there other than enjoy the little things.
It's tough,
I guess,
because
you
need to work to provide for your family. And in order to do that, you sell your time, you know?
Yes.
And so it's this mixed message he sends of, like, I need money to take care of you because you're the most important thing to me. And in order to make money to take care of you, I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah, that's what the public accounting field likes to call work-life balance, right, Jim?
Right.
How all of them are cultured to have that really good work-life balance. Yeah. Buzzword. That's a buzzword, Anthony. If you hear that, that means you're going to get fucking
get
killed.
Out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that, I don't have much else to say on this movie.
I mean
I
for
liked
the most
it.
Part, it's just a very delightful ride most of the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I'd just like to slam a couple more Winnie the Pooh quotes to brighten up anybody's day. Scott said a great one. One of them is, doing nothing often leads to the very best kind of something.
I like that.
I also like that. What day is it? Today? Oh, my very favorite day.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then one of my other favorites was when Christopher Robin first goes back into the tree once they arrive in Sussex or whatever the countryside they were at. He says, I wonder which way we have to go or something. And Pooh says, I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. To which Christopher Robin says, do you? And he says, that's the way I do it.
After this movie, I legitimately thought about talking to our interior decorator at work saying, I want my walls plastered with Winnie the Pooh quotes. Because I think that'd be pretty fun.
I said it.
You need a little bit of whimsy in your life.
Yeah,
he's literally
a
walking one-liner in this movie.
It's
crazy.
I mean, and you have to go back to the original storyline of Winnie the Pooh. This is how it was written. It was just fucking genius. Kind of like Dr. Seuss. So
yeah.
Did Dr. Seuss write Winnie the Pooh? No.
Nope.
No.
A.A. Milne.
A.A. Okay. Don't want to steal that guy's valor, so there you go, buddy.
One of my favorites, too, whenever Pooh screws up, he just says, oh, bother. And I really love it. You know, he's like, recognizes immediately it is too late to fix what's been done wrong. We have to move on from here. And I think that's just the most amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, just the scene, like Scott said, with the honey, he's just so clumsy and carefree that it's just, you can't bother but just smile. Like, basically through the entire movie. Like, anytime he's on screen, I just found myself just, like, almost giggling.
Yeah.
Because he was just constantly cracking me up.
I don't know. And even through some pretty dark parts of it, too, you get brought back to that. I read before this, like, when I Googled it, people said it was too dark. I didn't think that at the end. Like, maybe that message of, like, he's still going to keep his job is, but the dark parts, I think, were necessary, like, to get...
It helps show how much brighter Winnie the Pooh and the crew are.
Yeah, and to help Christopher Robin, like, get back to that place, too. So, not too dark for a kid's movie at all, I don't think.
Do we want to score it?
Unless they're afraid of the Heffalumps and Woozles.
And then yells at his boss, "You're a Woozle."
Oh, my God. And then Pooh goes, "So that's what they look like." I lost it when he said that. Funny. That was so fucking funny. Yeah, let's score it. Jim, why don't you start?
I'm giving this an 8 out of 10. It's just, I really can't express how much fun I had with this. Do I think it was a perfect movie? Obviously not. But I just had so much fun watching it. I haven't laughed that hard watching a movie in quite a while. So, I mean, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I'll go next because I also scored an 8 out of 10. Probably the same reasons Jim did. Oh, Anthony will too, but we'll get to him next. But I same thing. Had a lot of fun during it. It was one of those movies where I didn't need to like focus on anything else during it. I was fully into it. Pooh to me was the reason why it's an 8 out of 10. Like if the whole movie was him quoting shit, I would have had fun. And then Eeyore to on the side just being the mosey guy he kind of is. That was pretty good shit too. So I think and Ewan McGregor was actually very good too. I we didn't talk about that, but I think he did a really good job. I was waiting for him to see Pooh and just go, "Well, hello there," but it never happened.
That would have been the perfect like throw-in line Easter egg.
That's right. Yeah. But you know, he consummate professional, so Ewan wouldn't cross state lines like that. But 8 out of 10.
Yep, and I kind of spoiled it already. I showed the guys on the screen. 8 for me, echoing pretty much everything you said. I just, like, I found myself smiling enough. And basically, isn't that all you really want from a movie like this anyway? Yeah. Like, yes, the story is something we've seen 1,000 times, and it kind of falls apart if you really look at it. Like, he just continues to, like you guys said, which I didn't even think about, but it makes total sense. It's like, well, the common thing, he would have just probably quit his job or found a way to just make, you know, work less important, but instead just integrated it into like a different part of his life. But that's not really what's important here. Really just like as like a huge fan of like the cartoon or whatever back in the day growing up, when I first saw this, I was just delighted. I don't know, it's a really fun, adorable movie that like really anybody can enjoy or should enjoy, to be honest. I'm glad they kind of adapted it in this way. And like I said, man, it was nominated for an Oscar. So fuck yeah.
I have one last point, just kind of.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is that the one thing I wanted most about this movie is a little bit of escapism. And it absolutely delivers. You know, for 1 hour and 45 minutes, I didn't think about my own job, didn't think about a damn thing other than just how delighted I was by Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, and to go off what you said there, Anthony, how Jim and I pointed this out about the job, I think him and I are the perfect reason to do it because we know what that deadline feels like. and like, I think that's where it kind of just triggered us a little bit. It was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's totally us in busy season. You know, like,
yeah, we were getting called there's just that carpet. Time.
Yeah, and I think that's why it hits so hard. So I don't think most would think of that as much of a flaw as we would, because we can just say, oh, shit. Like, that's totally us.
It's a little too hard to hold sometimes.
Exactly. But, you know, we get big, great summers. Right, Jim? Great summers. All right. That wraps up Christopher Robin. And what time is it now, Jim?
It's trivia time, bitches.
Let's fucking go. I'm going to have a big week. I'm saying it right now. I'm going to have a fucking huge
week. I'm nervous. Jim always seems to just find the tough ones.
I know. They are.
My goal is just to walk out of every trivia session with the lead still, so that way I can't lose.
I would also like to shout out Adam Bramer for choosing our theme this week. It is Christmas movies.
Whoa! I was not ready.
That's way out of line, but I'll allow it.
Shit. Not even...
Shout out to Adam, by the way, quickly. He did text us that the two episodes of the new Hawkeye show dropped, and he said it's pretty decent, Christmas-themed, so
yeah,
we should check that out. Eventually, I probably will this week, I hope, sometime.
Yeah, two episodes I can fit in over a long weekend.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, are you guys ready for question one?
Let's do it.
I guess.
Remember, first person to get it gets 2 points, 1 point on a steal. Raise your hands on screen at any point during the multiple choice reading to answer. In what year was the film Angels with Filthy Souls, the black and white gangster film featured in Home Alone, filmed? Options are 1955, 1945, 1948, and 1990. Scott.
I'm going to say 45.
You are incorrect, sir.
I mean, I'll guess 1955.
You are also incorrect.
Fuck.
It is 1990.
That's the Filthy Animal one, yep. Right?
1990?
Yeah, it's not an actual movie? Film. It was filmed for Home Alone.
You fucking
whore. Oh,
for
fuck's sake. I thought that... Yeah, that makes sense. I thought maybe they would have just mentioned, like, 1955.
If that was an actual movie, we would have heard about it before Home Alone, so that's a really good point. Fuck.
Yeah, the real fun fact to it is that it was made for Home Alone.
That's fun.
I'll give you a bonus point if you guys can name a related movie that it's also featured in. An unrelated movie that it's also featured in. Scott?
Never. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. That's not unrelated.
You're right, that's not unrelated, so it's not the appropriate answer.
Oh, shit, no, I don't know. Oh.
Have an answer, Anthony?
Not really. I feel like
it's a comedy, isn't it?
What it's featured in? It's not a comedy. It's an action adventure.
I think you're thinking of the line "Filthy Animal," right? Is that where it's related in a way?
No.
Hmm.
This was the movie that was playing in the kid's dad's apartment in Detective Pikachu when he first walks in.
Wow.
Hmm. Really?
Yes, Angie and I went down the rabbit hole on this last night because she didn't believe me.
I'll have to revisit Detective Pikachu.
Well, good start, Anthony.
Next, how long did the first application of Grinch makeup take for Jim Carrey? Options are 7 hours, 8.5 hours, 10 hours, or 12 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Scott.
12 hours and 15 minutes.
That's incorrect.
Such a random time to not be ready.
Am I allowed to hear the options again?
Yeah, you can hear the options. So options were 7 hours, 8 and a half hours, 10 hours, or 12 hours and 15 minutes, which Scott guessed incorrectly.
That seems like an 8.5 hour job.
That is correct.
Fuck!
Yes!
Fuck.
1 point, bitch.
Bonus point question. How long did they have the process down to by the end of production?
Ooh.
Well, I'll say 3 hours.
Anthony?
I'll cut it down to 5.
Okay, we'll go with closest. Scott gets a bonus point. It was 2.5 hours.
Jeez, they really got the hang of it towards the end.
Rock on.
In total, he was in that makeup for 92 days.
You're in a giving mood, Jim. Just giving out points, huh?
I was going to do closest without going over, but then you both went over, so we went with closest.
Price is right. That's all right. All right. Yeah.
Next question. How old was Kevin McAllister in the first Home Alone movie?
Oh.
Options are 6, 4, 7, and 8. Anthony.
I'm just going to go with what popped in my head. 7.
That is incorrect.
Fuck!
It's got to be 8, right?
That is correct.
8.
It is 8.
Yeah. So... No way. He was an 8-year-old? Oh, my God.
Yeah, young as fuck.
Oh, wow. How old was he actually? Is that the bonus question?
No, I did not look to see how old Macaulay Culkin was in 1990.
Mm. Interesting. Interesting.
The way they do movies, he was probably like 16 or something.
That feels way too
Yeah, he was not that old, but not, that's what they usually not, Hollywood would do it.
Not important. Don't worry, Jim. We'll get that answer.
I was gonna say I'm currently butchering how to spell Macaulay Culkin's name.
Understandable.
He was born in 1980, so he was 10.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
Hmm. Next question. In Elf, what is the first rule in the Code of the Elves? Damn Options it. Are, there's room for everyone on the nice list. Treat every day like Christmas. 3 is, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Scott?
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
That is incorrect. Next option is check all lists twice, and the last is overtime is unpaid.
May I hear option 2 again?
Treat every day like Christmas.
I'm going to go with that.
That's right. Yep, yeah, because that's... He's sitting in the desk, and they're reading the rules, and he goes, treat every day like Christmas. Fuck. Great movie. Great movie.
Yep.
Okay, last question, but there will be one more bonus opportunity. Who won the Academy Award for playing Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street? Options are Paul Giamatti, Kurt Russell, Edmund Gwenn, and Tim Allen. Anthony.
This is the old-ass Miracle on 34th Street, right?
I believe so.
It's got to be Edmund Gwenn.
That is correct. None of those guys are old enough.
Fuck.
Now, there is one bonus point in it for each. If you can tell me what movie each of the other guys played Santa Claus in. Scott?
Fred Claus for Tim Allen. And then for...
Tim Allen played Fred Claus?
Yeah, didn't he?
No.
Christmas with the Cranks? Fuck.
Tim Allen was in The Santa Claus.
Yeah.
All right, let Anthony do the others, because I can't. I got nothing.
So there are 2 bonus points still available for Paul Giamatti and Kurt Russell.
Man.
Who's Fred Claus, then?
I don't know. I can't. I
mean, the character Fred Claus was played by Vince Vaughn. But Fred Claus is not Santa.
Hmm. I guess I don't know the name of the movies right now. I can picture like them both in character, but
you know what? Want to
know the answers and pass on the bonus?
I'll pass.
Yeah. Isn't Fred Claus Paul Giamatti?
It is.
Oh, fuck.
Damn it!
And Kurt Russell was The Christmas Chronicles, the Netflix movie.
Oh, Jesus.
So for tonight's standings, Anthony with 4 points, Scott with 2, bringing us to current standings of 18 points Anthony, 11 points Scott, and 7 points Adam, who has only played trivia twice.
Adam's almost got you beat.
Well, like, Anthony, close. I gained points, I think, twice when you were off the pod, too. So I'm...
You guys...
I'm fucked. Because Adam was in it. And you weren't, I don't think, Anthony.
I just used rules of deduction in that, in the Miracle on 34th Street one, just because I knew none of those guys were old enough to be fucking nominated for an Oscar at that point.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well. All right. Well, that ends trivia in another week where I said I'm going to do good and I didn't.
Yeah, you were talking some major trash earlier today.
I don't think that would be considered major. But I also like to do it to hype it up a little bit, and now I just understand that I'm just going to keep talking the shit, because one of the these weeks it's going to hit. That's the thing. You know, the loudest voice hits often. Not often, but eventually.
You're due.
Anyway, Jim, tell the people where you can find us before I give the holiday send-off.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @weave_scene_that, like us on Facebook, or email us at scenethatpodcast@gmail.com. That's SCENE, thatpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, boys, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to the listeners. I do love this time of the year. Enjoy it. These 3 days, I think it is, kind of, like for me, for someone who lives out in Green Bay and my family's coming here to the house the first time, you know, I think I'm just getting a little more emotional the older I get now. So enjoy these days, because shit. I mean, why not? Get
drunk. What movie are we watching next week?
Friday Night Lights. Sorry, that I should add that as well. And I'll have some quotes for... I'll ask Rob about what he thinks of that movie as well. But yeah, and of course, look for Rob's interview. That's earlier in this show where I said now. But yeah, we'll work it in somehow, I think. But anyway.
Friday Night Lights still currently streaming on Peacock as well.
Yes.
Let's go.
And then... For the 65th episode, we're going 65 million years back, but then forward again for Jurassic Park: The Lost World. Or is that number two?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So that's right. That's what we're going to do. But yeah, and we'll talk about the new Jurassic World coming out as well. So as always, thank you for listening to the 63rd episode of the Seen That Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim. And roll credits.